Praise the Lord. Thank God for his victory. If y'all will indulge me tonight, I don't know if y'all realize this, but if you've ever preached or done what I do, and I guess you just got to kind of get it out of your system. I don't mean that in a bad way, but when you study something and you kind of get into a vein for a while and you kind of just get locked into a place for a while, if you don't get out of it what you're supposed to get out of it, I feel like you're getting a happy meal when you paid for a filet mignon. That's the way I look at it. I look at it because I just keep digging and getting more and more out of the things that we feel like that God has put in our pathway. So tonight I want to once again go back to some scripture that we've actually talked about a little bit. And believe it or not, if you came up here and looked at these notes, you'd really be saying, I don't know how in the world you did all that out of that. Well, I don't even know myself, so bear with me on that respect. I talked this morning and really got down into a lot of stuff that I had thought about and studied, but I didn't ever really even write down. So tonight, you're kind of going to do that same thing. You're going to get that piece of paper that's got a few notes on it, and another one over here in the back that I'm going to head to in just a few minutes. But in all seriousness, we got down into verse number 6 a little bit this morning. And I wanted to go into verse 6 and 7. We talked about verse 8, I think, the first service. We actually talked about verse number 8, and we've worked our way back down through that. So, Psalm 34. And so when we look at this, I want to read again where I was at this morning and then talk about some of the things that I believe God put in my heart for tonight. So in this scripture, again, where that I ended up this morning, David understood in verse number 6 the spiritual condition of his life. And in that, we've all got to come to this realization, as Paul did in the scripture, and I'll just give you the reference on it. You don't need to turn there. So we see where that Paul actually mentioned this about his own life. Because in Romans chapter 7, and again, I'm just going to mention it vaguely and go on, because Paul was also a man of like passion, if you will. We know that from the scripture. And then Paul ends up saying that in the latter part of those verses of Romans chapter 7, the things that I should do, I do them not. The things I should not do, I do them. In other words, Paul recognized and he talked about the fact that he too wrestled with this thing called the flesh. 1 Corinthians, it talks about this, where that Paul was saying in the word of the Lord of how that he was caught up into the heavens, up into the third heavens, if you will. And I'm not going to go through the atmospheric process and explain all that right now. But we only see so much when you look up into the heavens. We don't know what's beyond. You know what I'm saying? We do believe that John saw that new Jerusalem coming down. We know that heaven is a prepared place according to John. We understand that in John 14. But yet Paul even said he was caught up and it was revealed to him things that could not even be talked about, could not even be uttered. You would think about Paul being this great spiritual giant. But yet in the same regard, we see Paul how that the Bible defines him as a man of like passion as well as a man who had a thorn in the flesh. None of us, we don't know what it might have been. I mentioned this Wednesday. We don't know what that thorn was, and there's really not a lot of ways to speculate on that. Even though Paul sought the Lord to remove this thing called the flesh or this thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, he defines it as a messenger of Satan to come to buffet him, and he asked God to remove it, but yet God did not remove it. He said to him, "My grace is sufficient." When we look at this again in the verses of Scripture, I want to read to you. So we see this in verse number 6. And again, when we talk about that, I'm wanting to go back and talk about the things I've talked about all the way through this and try to bring some type of conclusion to the matter tonight. That I'm coming out of my troubles. And by that, we think about troubles as being heartache. We think about troubles as being anxieties. We think about troubles being the IRS coming and knocking on your door. We think about troubles, and all of those things can be trouble. But yet the worst trouble that so many people don't even realize is the trouble of their spiritual condition, that they're lost and they need Jesus. Amen. They need Jesus in their life. And Paul, again, David says this. He says, the poor man cried, and that's where I concluded this morning, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. I thought about that before I get too far down in this. And nobody, no matter who we are, at some point in our life, we've went through some things where we've needed God to help us in our lives. But yet when we see this, David says in verse number 7. And he says this, and again, commentary talked about this in verse 7. And he says, and the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Several things about that commentary talked about. There's really not too many places in the scripture that verify that. Every person, we've all heard people say that we all have a guardian angel. Maybe we do, maybe we don't. I don't know. But I know David again in the psalm says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I heard one man preach that one. I'm sharing I did. And it's as if everywhere he turned, he was bumping into goodness and mercy, because it was like two angels there on each side of him. But in this, commentary talked about that this is one spot in the scripture that made a reference to the angel of God. And I know that there is ministering angels, and I'm not here to talk about angels tonight necessarily, but we do know that God sends protection to his children. Now that's where I want to talk about for the next few minutes. And I wanted to bring this together in this verse of scripture, because the latter part of that says, those that fear him, and he and delivereth them. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life when I've had almost near accidents, and it's been God and God alone that has protected me on the highway and stuff. One thing comes to my mind, one thing in particular right now. And we've all had those near close call experiences. I'll never forget this. I was on a road, and I can't remember the number of the road. I was on a road going to Brevard. Pepsi was in Biltmore, and I run the route through Fletcher, Mills River, Brevard, that area up in there. And this particular day, I was loaded. I had just left the warehouse. I had a full load. And so I was going, and there was a car bowed up in front of me. And I hit the brake, and there wasn't nothing there. I mean, I had pedal, but it wasn't stopping. So all of a sudden, I had to make a split-second decision either to hit that car or go off the road. So I chose to go to the right side of the road. And when I went to the right-hand side of the road, there was a concrete road sign. That's before they had the pretty metal signs up on the telephone poles or whatever telling you what the name of the road was. It was a concrete pole that was right beside of the road that had the street name on it. And Brother Hawks, I knew I'd hit that thing. I knew as soon as I went off the road, I was doomed. I knew that. I was going to hit that concrete pole as well as tear that truck up or whatever may happen. I went to the right, and my friend, I don't know, until it's only God. I didn't hit the pole, first of all, and it was centered to my right driver, to the right passenger seat. That pole was centered to that. How I done it, I don't know. To this day, I don't know. And I went right off the road and went right back on the road, and that truck never even wobbled. And I had a full load. Now, I can't hardly tell you what happened afterwards, because when I put my foot on the brake, it's like those air brakes, you know, I got a little nervous after that. We don't know. We don't know what God does for us. But David in this psalm said, I cried to God and God delivered me. And it's like Brother Tim said, is there's things that we don't know what God's kept us from when we could have actually went through so much more. And the Bible talks about that. All throughout the scripture, we think about this young man by the name of Paul and Silas in the book of Acts. They had already been beaten. They had already been put into the inner jail, if you will, the inner prison, if you will. They have already suffered for Christ's sake. And they were put in there. But yet the Bible said that God sent an earthquake. And God sent the earthquake when Paul and Silas was in there. They were praising God. They were praising God. The only way I can say that is in spite of their circumstances, they kept their song. They kept praising God. They kept glorifying God. And they did not get focused on their immediate environment. And they continued to praise God at midnight. It was the midnight hour. It was the darkest time of the night. It was the darkest time of their life. But they did not lose their song. They kept praising God. They kept magnifying God. And the prison doors was open. The prisoners were set free. The jailer was soon to kill himself. Paul said, sir, do thyself no harm. He turns right back to Paul. He said, what must I do to be saved? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And thy house, they went, they washed their wounds, if you will. He took him to his house and he fed him. What are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about God delivering those people that belong to Him. And if God did it then, I believe that God would soon do it now. This is why, the psalmist opens this psalm up in verse number 1. And he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Because the psalmist recognized and acknowledged the things that God had done for him. What about the other folks we know throughout Scripture? I just hit a couple of the main ones. And I'm not going to take the time to read all of it. I'm going to read a little of it because it would take too long to go through the whole thing. But you have Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. I think, Janet, how we pronounce that now. I think. That's what it looks like in the Scripture. Abednego. So that's his name. So what's the story? What's the story? The story is when Nebuchadnezzar was there and the golden 90-foot statue that Nebuchadnezzar demanded all of them to worship. When I read that, I thought about our world today, and I thought about how that our world today, everywhere you turn, there's strange music in our land today. And he said, when you hear the sound of the music, when you hear the sound of the music, it has been decreed of the king that you're going to bow down, you're going to worship this image that has been set up, and any entity or any person that don't worship this image will be thrown in the middle of the fiery furnace. And you all know that from the scripture. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and that other guy, they came back and they said, well, this one thing we do not know is whether our God will deliver us or not. But there's one thing we do know is that we will not serve your image of gold. My friend, when I thought about that, I thought about sometimes you've got to take a stand. I was told a long time ago when I was but a kid, a man that won't stand for something will fall for anything. And sometimes you may not be the most popular kid on the block. You may not be the one that gets picked. You may not be the one that's the most popular in your class. But if you'll stand for Jesus, Jesus will stand for you. And if you'll stand up for God, God will bring you out on the other side. And God's still a God of deliverance. And this again is what I want to get to. And again, I don't have time to go through this whole thing, but when you begin to read through the story of Daniel chapter number 3, you don't need to turn there, Joanne, if you don't want to right now, because I want to be quick right here. He said, and answered and said, and this is verse 25 of Daniel 3, and answered and said, lo, I see 4 men loose, not bound. They put them in bound, but he said, 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Remember, they don't know what the Son of God looked like then. It was a pre-existent image of Christ, or the deity of Christ showing up there. A theophany, I think, is what they call that. But anyway, here we go with Shadrach, Meshach, and the other guy. They're there. And the Bible says in verse 27, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the kings and the counselors being gathered together saw these men. Their deliverance became a testimony to those around them. And that's one of the things that I wanted to talk about tonight. That David began to talk about three or four different places in this psalm. He reiterated over and over and over again that God was the one that came and God was the one that set him free. If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And David testified to the glory, to the glory of God the Father. Look what the Lord has done. It's easy to sing the song, but it's not easy to go through the valley. But when you go through the valley, we all know this. Hannah sings the song, Through the Fire. We all know that it takes two mountaintops to make a valley. And my friend, sometimes the valley is long. Sometimes the valley is wide, and sometimes the mountain is very steep. But what we've got to do is press on. We've got to press in and allow God to do what God does the best. There have been times in my own life, and you know this. Some of you do. That it's been dark. It has been dark. They've been dark places. There have been times and you wondered in your own mind, God, how in the world? How is it going to work out? And I still don't know how things are going to work out. I still don't know how some things are going to work out. But again, I reiterated and I said it this morning, is we trust in God. Martha sings that song, as we trust in God. And my friend, I guess that's what I'm trying to get through. That before David's life could ever turn around, after the events of Saul and the events of Bathsheba, as I talked about today, that he had to get back to the place that he trusted God. How did Paul make it out of the jail cell? He trusted in God. How did Shadrach and Meshach and that other guy get out of this fiery furnace? They trusted in God. Now, hang with me a minute. And this is what he says here in the Word. And he said, Nebuchadnezzar, well, let me back up to verse 27, because he says, and the princes, and it said they gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And everything that exalted itself against the nature of God will be cast down. Why are you saying that, Pastor? I'm saying we've got to be faithful to God. And David, again, was exemplary in saying that we had to trust God. He showed us by example. And these guys, they've done it by example. Paul did it by example. And when you look at that, they also did it by their experience. Not only by their example, but by their experience. By that I mean, if you're faithful to God, and if God's been faithful to you in the past, hello somebody, God is going to be faithful to you even right now. Hallelujah. I just pray, and it's just me right now. I'm just talking to myself and God right here, right now. I just pray, Brother Tim, that the church will really get back to the place that we trust in Him. That we trust in Him. Man. Some trust in riches, some trust in princes, and some trust in chariots. We've got to trust in God. Let me just bring it on down a little closer home. God, man can only do so much for us. Even this pastor, I can encourage, I can pray, I can do all those things that's necessary. Call on God on each other's behalf. Be there, be a friend, be a support, all of that. But in all reality, friend, and the truth of the matter is, we've got to have God in the society that we're living in now. It says in this that they were gathered together, saw these men whose bodies, watch this, the fire had no power. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the shadow of a sword cannot cut you. Hello. The shadow of a bulldog can't bite you. The shadow of evil can't hurt you. Evil's all around you. And David said, but I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. He's with us. I'm going to get into that part in a minute. He's with us. I have to stand and make that declaration over my own life.